Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are talking about the unknown, I guess, because we haven't determined a topic today, but we do have a caller in the queue, and then we'll see where the show takes us. We do invite our callers and listeners to join us on Blog Talk Radio and also on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, and I've been talking about doing a group, which I'm going to do, we're going to do. But it may be around the new year after the holidays. So stay tuned for that. Call a number, 914-338-0164. And the number to call for further conversation, 562-596-7818. All righty. Let's bring on our first caller, 630.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hi. I'm on your Facebook page because I know, like, I like your page. Do you have a minute here? I'm trying to figure out, is there a way to donate to your show? Because I can't afford a full reading right now, but I do. I've called, like, three times, and so I'd like to at least send a donation because I know your time is, like, you have to.
Wow, that's really generous of you. You can, why don't you message me on Facebook?
Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
And then I can send you my email or... Do you do Venmo?
I have PayPal.
Yeah, we could do it that way. So just email me and we can work out the details. But we really appreciate that. What's your name?
Okay, so this is Dion from Chicago. And
Dion, how do you spell your name?
D-I-O-N-N-E.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember you. I remember you, Dion. Dion? Dion. You say Dion?
Dion. Yeah,
Dion. Dion. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
And Neil is really talented about picking up things about my love life. And I just wanted to know if he had any, like, information on that today.
Okay.
I'm still looking for my mate out there, so I'm just wondering if he had any information or clues.
What's your
birthday? I know I can't miss him, but it's
12-5-73-5-6-7-8-8-8-18-28-10-1. All right. So, well, Dion, I mean, you're 28-10-1. Sometimes ones can have problems in relationships. And are you single right now?
I am.
How long have you been single?
Since I was 28.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because your karmic number is 28. So you had a breakup at that age?
I got married at that age, but the marriage didn't last, and we ended up getting it annulled.
So you got it annulled the same year as you?
5 months later, yeah.
Wow. That's intense. Married and divorced. Annulled. Sorry.
What year was that?
That was in, she was 28 years old, so that would have been.
At 21. Divorced at the same time.
Yeah, 2001, right?
Yeah, 2002, yeah. Something like that. I'm going to be 45 next week.
Yes, you are.
So it's a long time, I know. And I might just be single, which is fine, but I still miss, like, romance. I would like to start getting on to having, like, some type of a, you know, romantic relationship with somebody. Like, I feel like the time should be now because I've cleaned out a lot of my closet.
And
I mean,
are
my
you
life
doing...
got to change at some point.
And there's been no romantic, there's been no contact with men at all for the last 17 years?
No,
nothing?
I mean, I haven't been in a relationship, you know?
You haven't been in a relationship.
I haven't been in a relationship. I talk to them and maybe go out, like, on a date here and there, but it's nothing ever comes of it. Nothing.
Nothing ever comes of it.
I literally had 7 years that would ask me to go out on a date and I wouldn't even get through the first, like, date. They would blow me off or not show up or make an excuse. It's almost like I have, like, a stigmata. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing has worked at all. Nothing.
So it's interesting because her 1-7 corresponds to 17 years, her first number in the month, and her 17 years.
It never goes anywhere.
Been married. It's kind of weird.
Well, okay. So the question is there romance? We're looking at the age of 45 going on. And the question is there romance in my life? Am I entitled to a relationship? According to your code, yes. Your code suggests that there will be a relationship. Now, the relationship itself, we could put it at the starting point of 45. It's somewhere within the window of 45 and 48. Let's work with 45 first before we have to take it any further than that. Because I think if we don't do anything, you'll have a relationship by the time you're 48. But maybe with activation, it could be at 45. Let me ask you something. Just say yes or no. Don't elaborate. Were you close to your grandmother?
Yes.
And just say yes or no. Don't mind the questions. Just yes or no. Did your grandmother, did she bake cookies, sugar cookies? Was she that kind of grandmother?
No.
But you were close to her?
Yes.
Was there anything about her that was, like, business-like or artistically inclined, anything like that?
She was extremely religious.
And did her husband, your grandfather, die prior to her death?
Yes.
And would you, and being extremely religious, did she guide you? Did she spend time with you? Did you sleep over?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I think this is leading, if I may. I think the grandmother is suggesting that Dion should enter the convent.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that, Kristen? My mom quit high school to join the convent. And if my dad met her 2 weeks before she was going to go into the convent. Otherwise, my dad would have missed her and I wouldn't have been born.
Wait, your dad...
No, that's a true story.
What's going on? This show today... Hold on a sec. Blog Talk Radio's just started dialing in the middle of the, you know, dialing in. I don't know what happened. So we missed that. So your mom, because there was some interference... Your mom was going to enter the convent, but your dad circumvented.
Met her 2 weeks. Yes.
Wait, after 2 weeks of what? Sorry.
So my mom quit high school and told my grandmother that she was going to join the convent and become a nun. 2 weeks prior from her entering the convent, she met my dad. And my dad interrupted that, you know, destiny, and she ended up marrying my dad instead. So
wow.
If my dad would have if it would have been 2 weeks later, my dad would have missed her.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. So there's this, there's that strange element there. Kristen picked up on the nunner, the comment. It's a joke, but it probably had some message in there of being psychic. And I'm going over to your grandmother, which is part of the plot. And what we're doing is we're trying to weave together through energy, Dion, a energy field, if you will, that will bring this man into your life. We don't know who he is yet. What we do know is that the message in your birth date says you're going to be in a relationship. The specifics are that it's somewhere between 45 and 48. What we're trying to do is construct an energy field whereby this person comes in during the age of 45.
We want something to progress from someone she meets rather than fizzling out. I mean, have you liked any of the guys that you've met?
I have, but it's like, I can't even describe how explosive it gets anytime I try to connect with somebody. I just don't get it. It's either my guides don't want me with that person, because ultimately we end up getting separated for some reason. I believe, like, if it was supposed to be, like, you know, it'll eventually work out, that I'm pretty sure. But, you know, it just never works out. And it's in, even I okay. try, like, I'll try so hard to make it work, but then that's even dumb too, because it's like, if the guy was interested, he would pursue me at least a little bit, I would think, or I'm doing something wrong to keep somebody away. I can't figure out which one it is.
No, you're not
doing anything wrong.
The energy field of this perfect match that we're seeking involves someone being in communion, if you will, with your emotional level and your verbal level. You're a rather emotional woman, and you're very verbal. You like to be emotional, and I mean not, you know, you're not nuts or anything, but you're an emotional lady, and you're verbal. So when things are wrong or are going wrong, and you feel it, you'll become emotional and verbal to your companion. And what's happening is that the men you're finding aren't matching your emotional level. They're picking up on something that you're kind of an emotional gal, and they don't want that kind of energy around them. That's not your fault, and that's not their fault. It's just not a good match. So what's happening is that your energy field is pulling in men, but once they come in, they're picking up on some level of your emotional status, and they back off. Now, our theory is that a man's going to come in who isn't annoyed by emotions. See, your emotions are fine, and your emotions don't reach any kind of peak unless something goes wrong. If you don't feel, if you're in a relationship, Dion, and you feel that there's something wrong, you'll get emotional and talk about it. That takes a particular kind of man to receive that. A lot of men don't avoid that kind of communication. So what's happening is that we've got to find this match that is in his DNA. You hardly ever have to get emotional, and if you do, he deals with it, because we're looking for a permanent match for you. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever had any strange experiences with spiders? Are there spiders in your home? Did you like sharp? Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like the spider is like my power totem. Like, yes, spiders specifically, yes. I see them all the time, and when I do, I know something good is about to happen.
So this is a
thought. Like, if they're in my kitchen, it means money. I don't know. And, you know, my husband that I was married to taught me that.
Oh, about the spider?
Yes.
So you're being honest with us. You before the phone call, you had an idea about spiders.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's our psychic link to connecting you to your future man.
It's the web. She's snaring and staring
in mythology and the theories of creation, the mythological theories of creation, the spider plays a huge role in a lot of the African American mythologies and storytelling. Spider's a big deal. A lot of creation stories involve the spider. The spider sits in the orb of the web, and it's like God in his universe. Spiders have a bad rap. They have a bad rap, but they're so interesting and so amazing and so magical. There are people that will put spiders on their tattoo on their arm. Why would you want to do that? I mean, put a tattoo of a spider on your arm, it's like a theory of getting bitten, but it's power. And then, of course, we have Spider-Man. But we're not trying to connect you to Spider-Man. We're trying to connect you to the element of a spider
superhero
totem, as you said.
Bad.
And what I'm getting as a theory in pencil is something around March. That around March, a man may come around you that at least is one of the candidates of a long-term relationship. I don't know if he's the one, but he starts to mark himself, no pun intended with spider, but he starts to mark himself as part of the people that come into your world. You know, this reminds me of King Arthur, because Guinevere, all these men were fighting were fighting for her hand. Even though she was married to King Arthur, there was a lot of men that were fighting for her in this duel to respect her. And one was, of course, Sir Lancelot, who actually fought off all the rivals. And then we know the story. He fell in love with Guinevere, and King Arthur was the victim there in many regards, at least by the storyline. There's something about England, in other words, it's probably past life.
Any connection to England now?
Ever? Any thought about England?
No, I do. I do. I have one of my mentors lives in the United Kingdom that I talk to every day.
One of her mentors.
Yeah. Okay, so you see what's happening, Dionne? We're discussing your future on an astral psychic level that is trying to embrace a prediction or trying to stimulate something coming up, and we're trying to push it along on a psychic level through these various validations. Also, what's strange is what's weird is I see you wearing a feather. Like, you know, the old Indian days, they wore one feather. I don't know if that meant they were taken. One feather wasn't a high-ranking thing. But if an Indian, regardless of the tribe, wore this one feather, it symbolized various things within the tribe. And I'm just getting a real earth. What state is she in?
Chicago, right? Yeah, Illinois.
Well, there were Indians.
Correct.
Do you have any... Have you ever embraced any kind of Indian energy? You talked about totem poles and stuff, but.
Yeah, I like the arrowheads. Because they're made out of stone and stuff like that. My dad used to have an arrowhead collection. It was awesome.
Okay. We're obviously helping you with energy. And any nurses or people in the medical field in your background?
No.
Any medical? No medical? Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
What do you do? That's what I wanted to ask. Yeah. What do you do?
I'm a window wholesaler. I sell building supplies. But Neil described this guy the last person that I was trying to date. He described him before. And he has medical people from his background. Do you feel as though I have an opportunity to try to repair the relationship that never got off the ground with the person that I actually did like?
Huh.
We're somewhat. I don't. What?
What happened? Why did the relationship break up in the first place?
There were third party interferences.
So there was like another woman?
Well, it just was third. I was not in an exclusive relationship with him. He's just single and he dates. He's not in a relationship with anybody. He just dates whoever. No, I had my sister jumped in the mix there and separated us by causing a lot of issues. And then he had his daughter on his side.
And what is the reason he just dates people and doesn't make a deeper commitment?
I don't know. He doesn't. He's probably not into commitment, I guess, or he didn't find somebody he wanted to be committed to.
Hmm. Well,
he was married one time before also. I don't know. I was just wondering if like you feel that would be an energy that would be good for me to connect to in the future or no.
Well, I mean, if he's someone who doesn't want to make commitments, I mean, maybe that can change. But if he's someone who doesn't want to make commitments, I would say no, because you want someone who wants to make a commitment. What's his birthday?
6/21. It's June 21st, 1965.
Oh, he's an 11. 6/7/8/9/19. He's a 30 equals 3. Which is, you know, what's interesting though is you were telling her by March maybe something would happen. That's the third month of the year, and he's a 3. You guys are a 4 together.
Well, you see, his day is your month in Burden.
Yeah.
Okay. And you and
you've got 5 going on.
65. Well, you know, it's possible. I mean, it's possible. Sometimes it's difficult. What happens in this, and it's becoming more common, is that men really don't want to make commitments. That we're losing the traditional roles between men and women, and it's very hard. I'm not saying that there are men that do, but there's a general field of a larger population of men that just don't want to make a commitment. And you know, they just feel if something doesn't work, they can pick somebody else. So this sense of commitment, and people are waiting to have families and things like that. So the traditional roles are, and you're looking for a traditional role in essence. You're looking for a man that's willing to make a commitment and that it will embrace you. And so right now, just on a realistic level, it's hard to find that person. If we go to a psychic level where you can connect to that specific person that whose soul connects to you, there's enough DNA in the soul that is binding. That's the question. You sell building supplies for windows?
I'm a window wholesaler, which is in the building supply category.
Oh, you know, I always hear this commercial about Anderson Windows. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, I used to sell part of their vinyl line, and I used to supply for a specific part of their company. But they're really not a company that I deal with at all anymore.
I just was curious because I always hear about it. Okay, so we're going to get to the other callers, but... We started the ball. We've got enough energy going on to where we have established that a relationship is forthcoming. We're trying to find the specific location in the person. We're trying to make it, we're trying to do energy field to where it happens in your 45th year, particularly around March. And let's go with that element first. You can contact this guy and see what he's about, but don't get all hung up if he doesn't respond. And if he seems noncommittal, if you do connect with him, let him go. He's not the only person. There's no objection to you contacting him. I don't know if it's him.
Were you guys intimately connected? I mean, did it go that far?
We were attracted to each other, but we didn't get intimate with each other.
I don't know. I mean, you can give him a call, but don't, you know, give him a call like it's just, what's up, what's going on. But I don't know. The general impression is it probably isn't him. But I wouldn't. I mean, if you want to start there and just see what's up with him, but you've got to, you know, prepare yourself for some possible sense of rejection or something doesn't happen. We got to move forward with this idea of what we're doing. And thank you for your suggestion of a donation.
We really, really appreciate it. I emailed you back already.
Yes,
on Facebook.
I will send it to you. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything that you have given me today, and I will send something.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Very generous
and,
of you.
Thank you.
Keep in touch with us because, you know, utilize the radio show, and maybe we can get this.
You know,
kind
get
of
something going. We'll work on it.
We'll work on it together.
For you.
We work together on these energies. So we will definitely make you part of the repertoire here.
Repertoire.
Yeah.
I'm a case study. Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Dion.
All right, have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye. Okay, 302. Good morning, or good afternoon, as you may be. Probably
good
morning where you are, right?
Yes.
Is it afternoon? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Eastern U.S., Delaware.
Okay.
Where?
Delaware.
Oh,
are you joking? Some people say that when you say you're from Delaware, they say where, and it just keeps going on and on and on. I've called in before. Gloria.
Gloria. Okay.
And
yeah, I think I probably told you that I did a report on Delaware when I was like in fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah. When I hear Gloria, I think of that song, G-L-O.
Oh, Lord. Oh, gosh.
I don't know, the Association of the Animals.
Oh, I think of Laura Branigan, Gloria.
Oh, that's the one, too. That's another one.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of Glorias.
And,
well,
of course, in any, you know, Gloria is also, you know, part of liturgical music, too.
Yeah, but we're not here to glorify music.
No.
So, okay,
right.
So...
certainly we aren't.
What's your birth date?
2/10/69. And I've called before, and I've spoken about my kids in the past. But my question to you is, you, Kristen, and Neil, is what... is the connection between my daughter and I. I love her to death, but sometimes I feel like I have to limit my time with her because sometimes I just feel like her energy drains me.
Drains, yeah, I was going to say drains. So,
yeah,
what's her birthday, Gloria?
9/17/90. I'm just curious if we have like a past life connection.
36/9. I can't even see where I wrote. I'm on the wrong. I've got to rewrite these on a different page. Well,
yeah, there's going to be a connection.
Life.
Kristen can start to explain that connection because there's a strong karmic connection going on.
There's a strong karmic connection going on. So, well, interesting too because her I said 8. And her month and day add up to 8. But between the two of you, your days are interchangeable. So your 1 to her 0 is a 10, which is her day. Her 1 to your 7 is your day, 17.
Same with the year.
Yeah, and the years are interchangeable.
Aligned. They're actually aligned.
They're
6,
aligned.
9,
yes.
Oh, wow.
I know they're aligned. But there's also... trouble because there's a 2 and a 9 in the month. That's an 11. You also have an 11 in your first numbers in the day.
And
the
last number, 1 and 9, which is 10, which is the day she was born.
The last numbers are 1 and 9? 2
and
9.
Their master numbers are 1 and 9.
Oh, the master numbers, yeah. The master numbers are 1 and 9, which is 10.
Which is the day she's born.
But
so there's friction.
There's friction. She's got a 2 and 9 in her... in her first and last two, Gloria does. So that matches the month. So she's got a 9/0. Zero next to her master number.
Yeah.
Daughter.
I mean, we could look at this on a just a physical level and just say she drains you at times. And that's just human. And there's, you know, she drains you. So, okay, that's no no big explanation. You just accept it the way it is. It could also be something about energy levels. He could zap your energy level to some degree. It could have something to do with maybe a psychological nick you have about being a mother. Maybe your mother was frustrated with you, something like that. It could get into psychology and energy fields of the mind and what you've experienced. However, on another level that's kind of intriguing, past life, I see you holding a baby on an island with a volcano. And it's almost like you're running frantically because this volcano's erupting and you're holding your this baby, and that's where the scene stops. Now, I don't, you know, this is psychic television. I'm seeing that. You know, an island, a volcano, you're holding a baby, you're running. Obviously, you probably were overcome by ash, something like that. But I'm seeing that. So, you know, the idea of water and birth and fire. So if was this a hard birth with your daughter?
No, actually, it was easier than the birth of my son.
Was there any fire in her? How old is she? Oh,
she's 28.
28. Well, she's your age. She is right now your age of your karma, 28.
Oh, wow.
So you're rebirthing. There's a rebirthing going on. Was she ever problematic growing up? Was there any fire in her?
Yeah, she was problematic.
See, this is where it's going, and she is probably rebellious, and you couldn't find a connection to her emotionally because her rebellion conquered any kind of emotional appeal you may have had or discipline. She's very independent. You see, you have just a tough child. She's fire. She's fire in your water.
Can I ask a question about your daughter's? I mean, where does she live and what is she doing in her life?
So now, right now, I know when I spoke to you before, she was living with me, and I had a talk with her about my expectations of what she needed to be doing with her life and stuff, and going back to school, and you know, and Neil mentioned the rebellion came out, so she decided she wanted to. Move out. So she did move out. She moved out in the summertime, and she's doing, you know, she's kind of burdened by having to live by herself with her child, but she likes it as well because she likes that independence. The problem I have is every time she runs into trouble financially, I try to guide her, or my husband tries to guide her, and she kind of like ignores us, and she just doesn't take anything we say, and she does her own thing and figures it out on her own, but then she ends up in some type of financial bind, and she ends up coming back to us so she can seek financial help from us. So it's kind of like a revolving door type thingy. So right now she's having financial issues. She's having issues with her car, and we're trying to tell her, you need to trade the car in, get a better model, and she's just focused on, you know, I don't know. She's just so rebellious. She doesn't want to listen
really
to what...
Can she really afford that? I mean, trading in the car and getting a better model, that would increase your car payment, probably. And
well, she's had this car only for 2 years, so it's not that old, but because she drives for a living, she's wearing the car out. So we tried to, you know, tell her, okay, you need to get this type of model because it's more reliable. And she's like, I don't like that kind of model. I want to get something I like. And it's just like, you know, initially, you know, she goes for something that she thinks is a cute car, you know, it may not end up being a very good car, reliable
what
car.
What kind of driving does she do? Does she do like Uber, or does she do delivery?
Yes.
She does Uber?
Yes, she does.
So you see, there's a real weird relationship between fire and water. The only thing that can really put out a fire when it's raging is water, for the most part. Basically speaking. And what she has this relationship with you, that in her fiery condition, she finds comfort in you guys taking care of her.
Right.
So she wants to be fire. She wants to be fire, but she wants you to be able to put out her problems with water, with money.
Exactly. You said it. You're right on point. You're right on point. But her independence has her, you know, she loves her independence.
You know, as a parent, you do one of two things, and neither one is going to put you in jail. One, you just say, okay, we love our daughter. We'll rescue her as much as we can and help her out monetarily as much as she can. This is her dynamic. We'll pray to God she changes one day and we'll help her. So that's one. And you just do it to the best of your ability. Two, you just say, look, you're independent. We'll help you when it's a matter of life and death. We'll always be there for you, but you've got to find your way. You've got to find your way to make ways work. See, but if you don't do one of those two things and you sit in the middle, then there's going to be problems on both you and your husband's psyche, because you're going to be caught in the middle of a dynamic, and that's not going to be happy for you. You've got to pick your role, what you want to do, and stick to it. Now, if you give her money, you may have to say, well, I got to deal with the fact that we're giving her money, and oh God, I don't want to keep doing this, but we'll do it. And if you don't give her money, then you got to deal with, oh, I feel guilty. You're in a pickle.
Yeah, I feel like it.
Your daughter, I don't know. It's a parent decision between you. And there's, but the draining of the aspect, I think, goes deep into the roots of the past life, merging into this lifetime, and it's just the dynamic. You've got a tough kid that isn't totally grown up yet and probably isn't getting the breaks. If she's working, that's commendable. If she needs help, it's going to be up to you. If she doesn't have somebody in her life that she's sharing her life with that can help her, you know, if she doesn't have that, maybe it's part of the parental role. It's going to be up to you guys.
Do you have other kids, Gloria?
I have a son, and he, in the past, he had issues with drug abuse and alcohol, and he's pretty much mellowed out. He's still staying with me, but he's not as independent as his sister.
How old is
he? So he's 29.
Wow.
Let me ask you something. Is the father, is he a hands-on father, or is he sort of absent in a strange way? Is he involved?
He's emotionally absent, but he is a provider.
That's what I thought. You see,
that's the disruption in the child's life.
Right.
So you're probably taking on a lot of the emotional discrepancy. You're taking it on, feeling there's a lack of a husband. You're taking it on as becoming more burdensome to you because the emotional balance is lost.
Right.
Between the father and the children, and so you're compensating. It's a tough one. It's one that has to be worked out either through a good therapist, or you and your husband have to come to some decision. And if he's a provider, I mean, but she's lacking the emotion, because part of her energy of combining her drama with you is through emotion.
Right.
The manifestation is money. But, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This might enlighten you, I don't know if it's going
to. I'm wondering, too, if she's single, the daughter?
Yes.
Yeah, so she doesn't have, relationship, and relationship's difficult for her?
She's only really had the relationship she had with her child's father.
She has a child?
Yeah,
she has a child.
How did I miss that?
She said she had a child.
I missed that.
You and your husband, is it a matter that you and your husband can't afford to do these emergencies, or are you deciding it's just not healthy?
What it is in the past we could, now we can't as much, and now I feel like there's something just telling me, don't do so much, like let her figure it out, because she's the one that keeps this revolving door. Like, I don't want to listen to you, but I want your help. I don't want to listen to you. So,
because if you keep enabling her, it's going to be a problem, because she's never going to grow up.
What you can do is make an arrangement with her. You say, look.
Contract.
Contract. Look, we will help you if we see more effort coming from you to expand on your financial situation. And if she says, well, I can't do it, then say, fine. But that's fine. Then there's no contract.
And there should be a contract that's like actually written and signed.
Well, you can.
I know, but I mean, obviously, it's, I'm not saying, you know, take her to court or something like that, but at least if there's something written out, there's a deeper commitment to living up to the expectations, because clearly she hasn't done it so far in the verbal agreement.
So you have
agreement.
A contract. So Krista makes a good point. You have a contract, and you say, look, here's what we're willing to do. We will meet you halfway. We won't give you everything you need. We'll meet you halfway. That's our love and our support for you, but it's also the value of being independent and autonomous. And even though you're struggling with a child, that's what we're doing now, recognizing that struggle. We'll meet you halfway, and you're going to have to try to figure out how to make ends meet. Let's start with that program. If she goes, I don't want to do that. That, you know, that's bullshit. Just say fine.
Right. Right.
That was a good impression of 28.
I just wonder, do you know her? Because that's exactly how, like, she becomes. She becomes that way. It's just like she just gets really temporary.
I know. I'm about to ask you for money.
Yeah, people are giving it to us today. Why not you?
Right. I was just going to say, I overheard the last caller mentioned something about a donation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not hard
But also not, you know, they're not in the financial positions they once were, it sounds like, Gloria. Is that true?
That's
right.
And
yeah,
you've got to
exactly.
be careful. You've got to protect your own assets, because you can't go broke or into debt because you're enabling her or helping her get out of her messes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, So, I mean, I just basically called to find out if there was some kind of, I just feel like there's just something that brings us together. And I for the longest time, I couldn't figure out what it is. And you pretty much, you know, confirmed that there is some type of, because sometimes I just feel like I just can't get like that. I don't know. I just feel like she wants to suffocate me sometimes. And that's not a way a parent should feel.
Gloria, you're a compounded number. You have a broader range of past life energies going on, to where your lifetime will seem disrupted by other energies. A lot of people who are compounded, such as yourself, 28101, has that experience.
Dealing with multiple past lives
in
that lifetime. Some people deal with maybe one past life karma in a lifetime or two, but there's multiple going on. With compounded energy.
And I feel it. I've felt it most of my life, and I just feel like I keep running into similar people, and it seems like the only way I can work through it is to acknowledge, okay, this person has whatever issue, I accept it, move on, and just get away, you know, just this is who they are. And then it seems like somebody else eventually, but it's become less and less as I've gotten older. And,
well, you know, I'm going to give you a little trick. Listen with sound effects, listen to this, you know, you can go online or something, listen to the sound of a soft running river, running water. It's going to bring you, take you back to a more mellow time. And I think it's going to help iron out some of the aggravating conditions of this present life. Water is the first sound, I mean, it's one of the first sounds the embryo hears, is the sounds of water, the liquid state. And that's where we come from, the ocean, the sea.
Well, it's funny you say that, because sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I listen to sound therapy, and it's water.
That's what I'm picking up on. Because I was going to suggest you listen to it at night, but I didn't know if your husband was going to be mad you had earphones on.
A lot of times,
maybe after he goes to sleep.
Yeah,
you get mad if I have your phone on sometimes.
Maybe you can break your toilet and just listen to the water run.
I don't think so. That'd be another problem.
Yeah.
Well, you can actually do that by adjusting some internal components.
Thing.
You don't need to break
water
it.
Run. But no, having the sound, you're already doing that. But now do it with visualizing native energies, tropical energies. I mean, something serene, because the medicine you're going to get from that will have stronger effects throughout your coping day. I think that's going to help.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And it's weird because I meditated a couple months ago, and it's the first time like I went into a deep meditation, and I called forward my spirit guides, and I've never done this before, so the first, you know, one of the first people that stepped behind me was a Native American Indian. And I've never seen that before in my meditation, and it kind of shocked me, kind of. But it was not threatening. He came behind me, and he had a feather in his hair, and I couldn't see his face, but he was behind me, and he put his hands on my shoulders.
That's interesting that you said that, because in the last reading, Neil talked about a single feather.
So, your past lives may not be in the bloodline of this lifetime, but it's in the bloodline, if you will, of your soul. So
Right. Your
soul carries different past lives, and that is on the banks of the river, Will Delaware has lots of rivers.
Yes.
But that's where the energy is. So you can do that. You can also look at visual pictures of clouds floating in the sky, like big cumulus, beautiful clouds, because
Yes. That's
the energy of the cloud in the liquid space of the sky. It's another element. You can look at that as an embryo. You can look at that as a rebirth sign.
It's so crazy, Neil, because I feel like you're reading me so closely, because I used to take pictures. I'm a photographer as well. I used to take pictures of clouds in the sky and the sunsets and stuff like that. When I was a child, I was obsessed with looking at the sky and looking up at the clouds.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good. And that was probably part of the strong language in your Indian past life, because clouds were messages. And it said many different things. And in fact, when a baby was born, if a cloud passed by that looked like a buffalo, they would call the baby buffalo in the sky.
Hmm.
You know, there's different elements of signs and wonders. And if you're a photographer, you're actually taking that photographic eye back into the past, where you communicated with the cosmos. So anyways, it goes on. But that's a good sign.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Kristen and Neil. I really, really appreciate your help.
You're very welcome, Gloria.
Take care.
And if you're interested on how things go, let us know. Check in with us.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Bye. And Gloria can join us on Facebook. Hopefully she will. And on Twitter. You know, it reminds me of something. You're talking about the clouds that I forgot to tell you. In the recent fires, here I saw a picture of it was like cloud. I don't know if it was smoke and clouds, but there was like a wolf a very distinct wolf in the clouds.
Yeah.
Oh, and I thought, oh, that's kind of a strange energy.
The wolves in the sky, that's an illusion I've used. Wolves in the sky being swept in from some element.
I wish I would have seen
that picture. From another world. Yeah.
It was eerie. It was extremely eerie.
Yeah.
Okay, we have about 8 minutes left here.
Oh, and there are no calls at the moment.
Not at the moment. No.
Well, I mean,
no, sorry.
It's fascinating when you probe into the journeys of past lives.
It is, and often, I mean, you know, she was saying, well, I was wondering about a past life connection. When you have kids, I mean, a great percentage of the time, these are people you're bringing in from past lives.
Typically, they are.
Not always, obviously. It's, you know, there are exceptions to the rule, but.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so sometimes we think, I mean, in the mysterious language of karma and past lives, we have very little control over the human beings that we
encounter and. Yeah.
Well, even give birth to, even people who think they're arranging the birth of their child, unbeknownst to them, they're working off of a code.
Right.
Because they're even coding the child already. You know, we want to have a girl.
Or even adoption. I mean, adopting a child is not, you know, any different in regard to a typical karmic connection.
Yeah. Like the Brad Pitt thing, you know, when you adopt children from other nationalities and cultures, you're tapping into the element of where you've actually been in past lives. So people who adopt even the Mia Farrow and Woody Allen thing, but basically Mia Farrow, the adoption level is very strongly connected to past lives. So we keep reaching back. it not only extends to our biological family and our genes and the DNA of our immediate lifetime, but it stretches back further then, because when you approach the soul, which you can't see, I mean, we can read the body and we can look at things along that way very easily. And the legitimate aspects is that there will be experts that will validate the origins of our bloodline, of our genealogy. But when we get into the aspect of the souls and the professionals, the legitimate professionals vanish from that dialogue, because then they're going to talk about the soul origin. They're going to talk more about the body origin. When we get into the soul origin, now we're getting into the dialogue of how psychics and mediums and people like us come in to suggest what roots the soul has to diverse past lives.
Yeah. We have a caller, Neil. Okay. So let's take this person here. 519, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Hello. It's Connie.
Connie? Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Where are you calling from, Connie?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Windsor, Ontario.
Oh, a Canadian. Is it cold there?
Actually, it's a beautiful day. No snow.
No snow.
Big blue sky.
Connie, I always think of Connie Stevens.
I was going to say Connie.
Connie Stevens, where are you?
Yeah.
I must have been connecting to you. Or maybe you were connecting to me. Okay, Connie, what is your birthday?
September 26,
72. September 26, 72. So 6 is your fire number, and I wrote that down before you gave the birth date. 11, 17, 27, 27 and 9. Excuse me, 30. 36, 36,
yeah,
36 9. Wow, like the other caller's daughter. And the previous callers was the same karmic and master number as the previous callers. So everybody's kind of connected here today. What's your question, Connie?
I'm just out in the dating world, and I guess, I don't know, I just kind of want to, I'm struggling with it, I guess.
Another person struggling with dating. Okay, so you're looking for someone you want to, like, share your life with type of thing?
Yes.
And you're not finding that in the dating world. What seems to be the problem that you're encountering?
I guess I don't really find anybody who wants to commit.
We were just talking to the first caller about that in this day and age.
Really? I missed it. Sorry.
Yeah, no. But it's interesting that it's coming up again. And Neil was saying that, you know, it's hard because now men often don't want to make commitments. Whereas in the 1950s, everybody got married, you know, I mean, it changed
right. Culturally,
but anyway, so did you want
well,
to say something?
Well, guess what? You're 46 and
surprise.
Yuck.
No, 46, you know, there's a relationship in your year of 46. Now your master number is 9, which you might've had a breakup or some kind of altercation or something during your 45th year of life. Did you have any kind of breakups with any men last year?
Was that last year? Yes.
Yeah. See, that was
I
a
did.
Closing cycle.
Yeah.
But the 46 is buried, is secretly buried in your
26.
Can you explain that to us?
Yeah. So between the distance between 2 and 6 is 4. So.
Okay.
In your code, it's suggesting in your karmic code that you're going to meet somebody at the age of 46.
Yeah, because the difference between 2 and 6 is
4.
So you have 4
and then 6.
And the following 6. And then you have that lingering 2, which is relationship.
Relationship.
So you're bound to have a relationship in your 46th year. The thing I'm seeing is right now, as we're developing the photograph, if you will, that the person likes boating. He's got a boat or something with a boat.
Okay.
Do you like boating?
I actually grew up on a boat when I was a kid. Well, didn't grow up,
okay.
but my parents had a boat, yeah.
Okay, so that's the first connection. So boating, growing up as a kid, your parents had a boat. That's about marriage. That's about traditional values. You're looking for a man to make a commitment. We come up with boat. That takes you back to your childhood where there were more traditional values, more commitment. So we're already running here. Also, do you have a bicycle or a broken bicycle?
I would say it's broken. It's very old.
Then you have a broken bicycle. So these elements that we're picking up on are specifically connecting to validations. I don't care what we're talking about. We could talk about proof cocktail. It doesn't matter. They're validations. But I am seeing an image of a bat, okay? I'm seeing the image of a bat.
Like an animal bat or a baseball bat?
An animal.
Anything with bat?
I can't think of anything, no.
Yeah, did you ever have an attic? Did you ever explore for leisure, for pleasure, going to any caves for on a vacation? You explore a cave?
Yeah, I have before.
Okay, so we're running short on time. These validations, Connie, establishes the premise psychically that you're going to be in a relationship in your 46th year. I would say that the only thing you can maybe do is kind of feel the energy field for a guy with a boat.
She should go swimming in Lake Ontario and a passing boat picks her up.
Yeah. You know, hang around.
We are surrounded by water.
You are, so.
Well, are you near any boats now or harbors?
Am I? We are surrounded by water here, yes.
Okay, so there's something in there. There's something in there, and we don't want just some kind of pickup artist. We want somebody who's willing to make a commitment. But if there's a clubhouse, look at something that is involving around boats where you could have socialized with somebody on a level to where...
a yacht club. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know,
okay.
Connie, but that's
okay.
Our first step.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, call us again, Connie, when we're, maybe have a little bit more time. We're at the end of our show right now.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
Take care. Hopefully that is
all right
for you on how to proceed.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. We're back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And yeah, unfortunately, our conversation got cut short today, but we will perhaps continue it on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.